All right, it's a good morning and welcome to Unpacking, the second edition of this week. And of course, it's the 25th of August, 2026. We are in the last week of the month. This is the last week of the month, the 26th, the 25th. Of course, it is payday to some people today. And it's payday, so some people are getting paid today, or they've already gotten paid. They are waking up to the ATM now. It's ATM language today, or swiping, and then e-wallet, blue wallet, green wallet, easy wallet, pay to sell, you know, cashless withdrawal, cardless withdrawal. It's a language today. Cashbacks and then payback. That's the most hard one, the hard way, the hardest time is time for payback. Paying the loan back, that's a very painful way. Or sometimes when you by the 23rd, some deductions are already scheduled. And by the 25th, this time you wake up to just take a 2,000 left. And then you are trying to make means. What am I going to do with this 200? Or this 2,000? Somebody decides to die somewhere, by the 22nd. So you are already expected to give some donation funerals. So that's how life is. We continue. We continue, and today is today. Today, I said I've cooked up a lot, and I remember I was told that I must open the line by 7, and if I open the line by 7 and no one is calling, because you people can complain and say, please open the line earlier, and then no one calls. Or say, please, we need an extra hour. Okay, extra hour comes. No one calls. So you need to have extra pots. Or you say, well, you need more food, please. And then next day you cook more food. No one is eating. You know, people eat and they leave some food. So food get wasted. All right. So I will open the lines by 7. I'll open a line by 7. And then we'll see. Because some people want to participate before they get into the office. Okay, so the 39.5 million agreement on artificial intelligence and satellite crop monitoring with the Ministry of Agriculture with a United States company. Somebody is about to be in trouble. You know, somebody in the Ministry of Agriculture is about to be in trouble for authorizing that agreement to go on. The AI satellite crop monitoring agreement with an American company. You know what I'm talking about very well. So somebody, the government is considering actions against that official in the Ministry of Agriculture. He's a senior official. So he's a senior official. He authorized. Do you remember what happened to the former, you know, deputy prime minister and the minister of mines? Authorizing licenses not approved. That brings problems. It lands into problem. And it seems this is a male official also. So it seems that the 8th administration, when it comes to mail, You need to be very careful how you do things. Otherwise, you go quickly. So it seems that's why I say government works in silos. Everybody makes their own decisions. And the decision is not approved. So is the powers of senior officials, is it not kept? Does a senior official have the autonomous authority to authorize, you know, without the president or without the executive or without the appointing authority? So that needs to be, that power, if it exists that way, it needs to be kept. It needs to be limited. Because if I said need to be kept, some of you will not understand what I'm saying. That power needs to be limited. The autonomous authority of an official, that he can make decision to authorize a license, the renewal of a license, or to authorize an agreement to sign, even on behalf of the Ministry of Agriculture, and the president goes to hear and say, no, there is an agreement signed in the news. Huh? Signed this one? No. Who signed this? No, it's official. So. Say, that person, we must take action against that person. How does he sign this? You know, who told him to sign this? Who told him? Yeah? The minister is called. How do you authorize? No, I did not authorize. What happened? So now they are bumps, and the government is now saying, we are taking action against you. We are considering actions against you. For authorizing the unauthorizable. The artificial intelligence, what? Satellite monitoring, crop monitoring. No. And some people have been talking about GMOs, you know, America introducing GMOs to Namibia, blah, 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 blah. And they don't even know that the food they buy from South Africa, most of the food come from South Africa. And do they know that South Africa is using GMOs or not? You know, because there is a law in Namibia that says if you are using GMOs, if your food is from GMO, you need to indicate it on the label that your food is made out of GMOs. You find somebody complaining about America bringing GMO in a country, and then it's on the line. Do you know where you are on the line for? You're on the line for KFC. And KFC is what? Huh? What is KFC? Is it a marathon chicken? Nope. So, what are we saying? You know, genetically modified what? Seeds. We are condemning that, right? And we are correct, but wrong at the same time. Because the food you ate last night, you don't know which food is. It is. You don't know whether or not it was from genetically modified, you know, seeds. Now, let me just give you a background of, you know, why genetically modified food came. And I'm sure, you know, I think at the end of this year, I'm going to be a millionaire. Because I'm accused of being paid for by the Americans, being paid by the Russians, being paid by SWAPO, also being paid by IPC, being paid by almost everyone. So I think I might be a millionaire by the end of the year. So I receive. Now, look, I cannot always talk about what you want to hear. That's not what we are here for. We talk about what is making headlines, and we try to analyze and make meaning of those stories. We are not taking any side. We are not interested in what you want or what you don't want. That's not what we are here for. We are not here for personal preferences. We are here to do our job. So if today I speak about something that you like, you are lucky, but don't think that I'm going to do that tomorrow. Or don't think that I'm going to be confined to, you know, talking about what you want to hear. Because radio is for everyone. It's not just for you. So we are not here to serve individual, preferences. We are here to serve the nation. That's our mandate, to inform the nation and inform them correctly. So in 1945, 1946, after the Second World War, when people were settling down and there were a lot of refugee camps and a lot of camps that were set out, the United Nations just formed and everybody just recovering from war. The British and the French are messed up. The Russians or the Soviet, they are broke. You know, no one has money except at least the Americans were the only ones that had money. So, and there was a need massively of food, especially in Europe. They needed more food. And now agriculture, to plant, because the war ended around, you know, August. That's when the war ended. Officially the war ended in May. May the 8th, war ended because Germany was defeated by that day. So, but people needed food. And the natural method of planting will take long. And it was not even a season of planting in many areas of the world. So that's why the scientists decided to start what is called the GMOs, under what is called industrial biotechnology or agricultural biotechnology, however you put it. So genetically modified food or seeds, in a way, was created to serve or to solve an issue or a problem or crisis that was there. Yeah, but you also know that people are always having agendas that they can also put through any development. There are people that have other agendas, of course, you know that very well. So that one we leave it there, but the official in the Ministry of Agriculture right now is in trouble, is about to face trouble for authorizing that. And that agreement was terminated speedily. That agreement was terminated speedily. You know, when you are doing things and then the parents wake up and they tell you, stop it now. Stop it now. And there is some silence. And then you hear the door closing. I think that is what happened in the Ministry of Agriculture. There was a stop it now shout. And then it was cancelled. The company was going to get 39.5 million Namibian dollars to monitor a crop. And then also, you know, using satellite and artificial intelligence. I don't know how officials get too excited. You get too excited, you want to authorize people to use AI in monitoring where your cybersecurity bill is still hanging in the balance. You don't have a proper cybersecurity system. And you are authorizing such thing with to be done with AI by a foreign company? With using satellite? whatever brand of expired water that some ministry officials are drinking will bring us problem. So, you don't even have a radar that can detect drones. And you want to authorize what? The radar system that we have here is civilian radar. Civilian, what? Civilian radar. That's what is being used even by the Ministry of Defense. Civilian radar. And you want to authorize an AI-powered monitoring system for crops? Do you know that you are a crop? Do you know that you are a crop? You yourself. They are not monitoring crops on the ground. But I don't know what is going on with government officials. I don't know what is going on with government officials. You see, government must learn to listen to people that have insight. The government must learn to listen to people that have insight. That was going to be a mistake, big one. You were paying, because for you to authorize a foreign company to come at that level of using artificial intelligence and even access to your skies, you should have had some security measures in place because you are able to limit their satellite activities. You don't have that. So who in the world can authorize that? Can China do that? Can Russia authorize America to monitor crops in Russia using AI and satellite? No, that's a security threat to the national security of the country. You see, America cannot do that either. America will never allow China to set up artificial intelligence powered, space technology to monitor crops in America. That's already an infringement in their state security and sovereignty. Where are you guys getting these things? You see, in the name of wanting to be politically correct, you are making blunders. This is a blunder. This is a blunder, big one, big blunder. Because they are not going to monitor crops. Besides, that's just a statement. You are the crops. You government officials, including your defense apparatus, you are the crops that will be monitored. No doubt about that one. So, that official whether he was acting in isolation or whatever it was, he was in the stratosphere, really. He was in the stratosphere. He bypassed he crossed every line and threw away every fiber of your so-called sovereignty. Well, Namibia is an enemy to none and a friend of all. So Namibia is able to authorize people to move into their skies because Namibia is an enemy of none and a friend to all. My friend, you can be monitored from your blanket to whatever. I don't know who determined what Namibian foreign policy is. You know, the government must make a stop. Instead of going up with electronic IDs that they don't even know how to explain properly, they must first revamp their foreign policy, because it's a messed up foreign policy. It's a cowardish and irresponsible foreign policy. You cannot have such a foreign policy in a polarized world like this one. You can never have that. Never. The Namibian foreign policy is cowardish and irresponsible. That one we need to know. It is not even something that we need to say that we must be careful of what we are saying. No. It is not a foreign policy. That foreign policy is irresponsible. You cannot talk about oil and gas, and then you talk about beneficiation of oil and gas, and you have such a foreign policy. It will not work. You see, this is what made Nicolas Maduro find himself in America. It is oil. If you people don't understand what is going on in the world, I don't know whether you see what is going on in the world, or you are in your own stratosphere. You see, the Namibian government officials need to calm down. They need to come back to earth, because most of them are not on earth. Who is advising even the international relations minister? Who is advising who? Because we cannot have such a foreign policy. Look at what Gengob did in 2018. Gengob made a very terrible mistake in 2018. And it was the deception of the century. That was the deception of the century that Gengob went into. And the current president was the international relations minister that time. But they allowed to be deceived by Botswana. And then they went into a deception by ceding land to Botswana, which is not Botswana's land. Apparently, it's a 2018 border treaty. That's not a border treaty. So whatever Botswana did, they did it very well. They deceived the Namibian government, and the Namibian government fell for it. Because now Chobe River is, you know, this side of Namibia is shallower, very shallow, and the deeper part apparently belongs now to Botswana. No one can fish in Chobe River without being harassed by the Botswana Defense Force. And the Namibian Defense Force is doing what? Silence. Because they are friends of none, friends of all, and enemy of none. So that foreign policy is an irresponsible foreign policy in a polarized world that we are living in. That's very irresponsible. And if Namibia is going to think that they are going to have oil and gas to benefit their citizen with that foreign policy of theirs, they must forget that. And If there is anybody that can cut this audio, you must keep it in your archive. Because you are going to remember this audio. You are going to remember this audio. You must forget that. So, countries are not sleeping. You cannot be an antelope in a jungle of lions and you want to think you can be conciliatory with lions. You are the lunch. You are the menu. As we speak now, Namibia is a menu. So if you are not on the table, you are on the menu. And Namibia is never on the table. Namibia is on the menu.
ShopRite's birthday is in the major league with major low prices. Get 4 kg real good IQF chicken mixed portions, only $194.99. 2 liter Right Brand sunflower seed oil for $69.99. And 3 kg pasta grande, macaroni or elbows pasta, just $69.99 each. Valid until 6 September 2026. Get major savings with ShopRite's major league birthday. Plus, pick a box for a chance to win your share of over $500,000 and weekly gift cards with ShopRite. Buy any 3 participating products. WhatsApp the code on your till slip and pick a box to see if you're a winner. Only at ShopRite.
Okay, I'm going to be very harsh on this point. That Namibian government officials must stop deceiving themselves and deceiving everyone that they have a foreign policy. That's not a foreign policy. It's an open door. It's like a girl saying she is for everyone, every man that comes. What will happen? You lose value. You lose self-respect. You lose everything and eventually lose yourself. Are you guys not listening or are you guys not looking at history? History keeps repeating itself. That's why you see the Iranians, what is going on in Iran today? What is going on that Strait of Hormuz today? Is because from 1979, Iran has decided that oil is theirs, not the British oil. They seized British companies. That were running the Iranian oil, that were taking oil to benefit the British. They took it from 1979, and that is what angered America. And you want to tell me that you are a friend of none, a friend of all, and an enemy of none in this world? It's a survival of the fittest, and you want to tell me that you are fine? Well, if Namibia cannot handle Botswana, how are you able to handle pressure from the United States when it comes to oil? Because a different president will come in, just like Trump came in. And when Trump came in, he took Maduro. And when Trump came in, what did he do? He organized with Netanyahu to, you know, make a decapitating strike on Iran. What are they doing? It's because Iran decided its beneficiation. That word beneficiation, Namibia, stop talking about it. It's a very expensive word. Just open the oil and give it up to all, to everyone. So, Namibia must stop talking about beneficiation. That word is expensive. And if you are playing, we will wake up one day, the president is in one of the ships, being transported to wherever. And you know what countries will do? They will just give solidarity message. We are calling for the Namibian president to be released immediately. That's just a diplomatic language. It will do nothing. So it seems Namibia is still sleeping in the illusion that they are that they are a friend of none, or I mean an enemy of none. You have no enemy. Well, good luck on that. But this thing of beneficiation, unless you guys just want to say it because you enjoy the pronunciation and the sound, but reality speaking, we are not going to have beneficiation 100% without being powerful and without being able to defend what that which we believe in. That will not work. It has never worked, and it will not work. So even Japan, that was passive, you know, the passive military, Japan now is revamping its military because they are realizing that, look, this passivity is not going to help us in the long run. We need a military that can be both offensive and defensive. Because Japan now cannot attack a country because of that. It is in the constitution. They are busy revamping that. So, Namibia cannot handle Botswana, and you want to think that you can be stubborn enough to handle the United States or any other major power. Well, good luck on that. But I think Namibian officials are not in this world. So we need to organize a national prayer, not to pray for against road accident. We need to pray for Namibian government officials to return to Earth, because they are not on Earth. You cannot have such thinking in a polarized world like this, when every country is busy defending themselves. You cannot sit idle and sit on the fence. So, you cannot sit on the fence. This now takes us to the story. Where it is projected that Walvis Bay and Lüderitz could take on a bigger role in Namibia's economy as the country moves closer to developing its offshore oil and gas resources. The two coastal towns are being viewed as potential services and logistics centers for the emerging petroleum industry, creating opportunities beyond the extraction of oil itself. According to Cornelia Shilunga, the special advisor and head of the upstream petroleum unit, Namibia's oil and gas development will require more than offshore production with ports, logistics networks, supply bases, roads, and airports, all expected to, you know, to support the industry. All expected to support the industry. Shilunga made these remarks at the Namibia Oil and Gas Conference on August 19. She said that Walvis Bay and Luderitz have the potential to become import or important logistics and services hubs. Petroleum activities while of hubs for petroleum activities while government must ensure that infrastructure infrastructure keeps pace with developments in the upstream sector. For local businesses, this could open doors in areas such as marine services, logistics, storage, fabrication, and engineering. The government has identified these activities as part of the wide industrial, of part of the wide, you know, industries that could grow around the petroleum sector. The focus on the two coastal towns also points to a broader question for Namibia, whether the country has the infrastructure and local businesses ready to supply an industry that will require specialized services and, you know, equipment. Shilunga said Namibia's petroleum story should ultimately deliver more than oil production with the expected benefits including stronger businesses, improved infrastructure, skills development, technology transfer, government revenue, and industrial growth. That's a story in short. What makes me laugh is that Shilunga is busy speaking about the prospect of oil and gas and how it can transform the Walvis Bay and Luderitz, you know, towns, this Namibia's major coastal towns. And the Namibia Planning Commission with the Namibia Hydrogen Project are talking about decarbonizing. That's why I said that we need prayer. We need a national prayer, not to pray for any other thing, but we need to pray for government officials to return to earth. Because government officials are not in line. They are not in line. This one says this. This one says that. This one says this. Now, what Shilunga is saying is in agreement with what Epson Wanguta was saying, and also what the former Minister of Energy, Tom Alwendo, is also saying. So, and if you listen to Modestus Hamtse, the current Minister of Mine, is also saying the same with prospect of oil and gas. You listen to the president is talking about oil and gas. Green hydrogen, decarbonization, at the same pace, Namibia want to achieve 100% decarbonization when Namibia want to achieve 100% oil and gas beneficiation. I don't know what kind of wine this is, but it's a terrible wine. Because you cannot decarbonize and carbonize at the same time. So we need prayer. We need a prayer day. If cabinet has approved a national prayer day, that prayer day must be for them. It should be for the cabinet and the executive legislative, judiciary to come back to earth, because they are not on earth. They are somewhere, maybe in a stratosphere, or maybe they are already at Mars, if not in Pluto. They need to come down. They need to come back to earth. Because the statements they make are not in sync with the reality of what they want to achieve. Somebody just wakes up and say, Namibia will decarbonize. At the same time, there is a statement coming from the minister saying oil and gas will change the tide on our economy. We were just talking about pegging the Namibian dollar to South African economy now. And the Bank of Namibia president was saying it's only oil and gas that can come and change the story. So, I think we need to choose between green hydrogen and oil and gas, because I don't think we can have them both. Who is pushing Namibia? It seems that Namibia is not making decisions on her own. Somebody's pushing her. Or what is going on? Because they cannot be, you know, isolated and scattered statements. They cannot be isolated and scattered statements. They must be one language. The government official should learn to speak one language. Now, look, somebody just woke up, signed a $39.5 million agreement, and then after sometimes we hear it has been terminated, they've been stopped, and now government is considering actions against such a person. What is going on? So what is going on? That already is an indication that the government is working in silos. The government is not in sync. The government is not in sync. They must come down. So we need to organize the prayer day to pray for the government to come back to us. Because this government, and it's not about the 8th administration, the enemy to none and the friend to all is a foreign policy of Namibia. We have been sitting on this one forever. Maybe it helped from the beginning, but we need to reconsider this foreign policy. Because we are living in the world of alignment. If you are not aligned properly, you will be lunch for everyone. So, this world is a world of alignment. Now, Turkey and Pakistan and Saudi Arabia have signed a pact. It's a military pact. An attack to one is an attack to all. So, that is a military pact, a very confused military pact of Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. Because Turkey is like a bat. It flies, and it's a mammal at the same time. So Turkey is a member of NATO, and in fact, The Turkish military or Turkish soldiers Turkey has contributed a lot of soldiers to NATO. So Turkey is a member of NATO. Now, at the same time, Turkey wants to be part of the Arab world. And then at the same time, Turkey wants to be neutral and wants to be the negotiator to negotiate peace. You know, and Turkey wanted to to talk to the Russians about the Black Sea, to say, well, let the Black Sea be opened. And the Russians said no. When our ships were attacked, nobody made a statement. So when our ships were being attacked in the Black Sea, nobody made a statement. Now that we are striking back, that's when you want to make a statement. We are not going to listen to that. So Turkey is in a problem because Turkey does not want to be itself. It wants to be everywhere at the same time and everyone at the same time. And it's about to pay the price. And this is what Namibia must avoid. You cannot be all over the place. In this polarized world, you cannot afford to be all over the place. So, now, if there are rumors where Israel is preparing for conflict with Turkey, now, should that happen, Article 104 of NATO, can it be invoked? It will never be invoked. Turkey is a member of NATO and attacked by Israel, which is supported by America, who is Uncle Sam in NATO. Who else will stand up to America and say, we are fighting America because we have attacked us? No one, because NATO is protected by the Americans. So if the conflict of between Turkey and Israel arises in Syria, that is going to put NATO into shambles because NATO will not know where to go. Israel is already 100% supported by America. So, and America will not sacrifice Tel Aviv for Istanbul. That will not happen. So if Namibia cannot learn from that chaos and realign herself properly, then it's a pity. Then it's a big pity. If Namibia cannot align herself properly and if Namibia thinks that their oil and gas, just because it is from their ground, if they think that it is their oil, they are mistaken. They are mistaken. So if they don't know how to align themselves very well and to make proper deals, that oil will just come and be like Nigerian oil or like Libyan oil or like Iraqi oil. Some of you don't even know how this thing started. When Iraq was fighting Iran from 1980 to 1988, 8 years, Kuwait was busy tapping into into Iraqi reserves, oil fields. And when Iraq came from war, they were broke, they did not have money, and then they wanted also to sell oil. And then they started to tell Kuwait, to say, look, you are tapping into our oil fields and the reserves, please. We ask you to stop because we also want to sell our oil. We just came out of war. And Kuwait was not stopping because Uncle Sam was behind Kuwait. So Saddam approached the U.S. embassy in Iraq to complain to that issue. To say, no, please, can you speak to the Kuwaitis because they are taking our oil. And the American ambassador said, we don't interfere in, Arab nations, internal affairs. Oh, okay. So Saddam tried to speak to the United Nations. Saddam tried everything. And until eventually he sent the elite National Revolution Guard to do a clean job. Just go there, capture Kuwait, no killing civilians, nothing. Just go there and make a clean operation. They made it. Within 24 hours, Kuwait was under Iraqi forces' control. And Bush, senior, decided we are not going to war with Iraq. So, but then he was convinced to go to war. I don't want to go into details into who convinced him. So Iraq, the Gulf War started. It was on oil. It was on what? Oil. Somebody was looking for beneficiation. The beneficiation of our natural resources. Some of you politicians are just talking. You don't know the cost. You don't know the cost of that beneficiation. It comes with a cost. It doesn't just come like that. It comes with the cost. Ask Iraq. You must ask Libya. Now in Libya, everyone is taking oil. If you hear if you go to Yemen today, Yemen was one of those countries that were stable, very economical. Economically sound. It was messed up. Syria was one of the most stable countries. In fact, Lebanon was Christian, democratic, and with a vibrant economy. And they decided, no, we cannot allow a third world country to flourish like this. They brought in Islamic, radicalism, they funded it, and then Lebanon was in shambles. The same with Haiti. Haiti was the first black country to be independent, and their economy was moving, booming, they were developing. And they decided we cannot allow a third world country to develop at this pace. Today we are talking about Port-au-Prince. It's a pot of all confusion. So who did that? Those people are still doing what they do best. So you cannot be in a country, you cannot be in the world and you are having a confused alignment. So sometimes when I listen to Namibian or government officials, I become worried. I become very worried. Because it seems the government officials are just making statements. And it seems they don't understand what is going on. And that is my worry. That is my worry. So there are people that cannot afford to see you prosper. There are countries that will not allow that. So that's why North Korea knows it very well. Iran understands it better now. That you cannot be allowed to talk about beneficiation. You see, Russia knows it very well because Russia has almost 50% of everything that you can talk about resources. Russia has the world's, deposit of almost 50% of everything in the world. And there are countries that cannot afford to see Russia at that level. They want Russia dismembered, cut into pieces, and turned into smaller nations. That's what they want. So it's about resources. Now they are forcing Ukraine to say, Ukraine, you need to give us everything. In fact, all your rare earth materials are ours. So Ukraine will not have a choice. So if you are in the world and you are as ignorant as our government in this world, it's a pity that we are not going to benefit from all these things without a cost. So I'm not being anti-government. I'm just telling you the reality of what is going on. So I'm just telling you what is going on. That we cannot talk about benefit scheme, well, like we are talking about drinking water. That language, that word, that term comes with a cost. It's an expensive term. It's an extensive term, an expensive term. The world big powers are looking for the weakest. They are looking for the weakest to exploit. They have not changed. Things have not changed. Things have just transformed, and things are being done the different way now. But sometimes, if need be, the countries can resort to the old ways. Trump is talking about taking Greenland now. Trump is talking about if it is possible they can use military means. So it's a world that wants natural resources. It's not about a world of friendship. You know, Namibia wants to enjoy romantic friendship with countries that, you see, Namibia wants to be romantic. Well, Namibia wants to be romantic in a world that is fighting for resources. And Namibia is coming up with a romantic foreign policy. That is the if you want to know how romance are, that's Namibia. Romanticizing the most dangerous sphere of its existence. And they want to be romantic with everyone. Namibia want to be a loose girl in the street. That everyone comes. That romantic policy must change, must be turned into a real policy. We cannot be romantic in a polarized world. Otherwise, we'll be ravaged. And it is a pity. Only God knows how it is going to end. Should oil and gas come here and it is booming nicely, the economy is there, Namibian GDP is gone, and then Namibia is eventually, you know, the most equal country. People are happy when they are hearing 87,000 people in Kunene are starving. Apparently they need food. That's a good news to the world. People want to hear Namibia massive abortion, Namibia massive what, all those news. That's what they want to hear. They cannot afford to hear Namibian good news. Good news is boring. People want to use misery for them to be strong. So it's up to Namibia whether Namibia is going to wake up now and put itself in order, and then oil and gas comes, and then we talk about beneficiation properly. But with this messy foreign policy, we should forget about, you know, beneficiation of our natural resources. We should forget about that one. And you see, no country will come at your defense, because you don't have a defense pact with any country. So, no country will come to your defense. If you cannot work out your own defense. So what happened to Maduro? Maduro thought that the Chinese, maybe the Russians will come, but there was no defense agreement with the Russians or the Chinese. So it was just a message that they condemn. That's what they can do. That's just a diplomatic. Russia and China have what they call non-interference policy. They will not just jump and say, we are coming in because you are, unless if what you are doing really threatens them to the core, that they have no other options but to attack you. So, what is it that Namibia thinks they have that they can hold on to? What is it? Our defense companies are busy, you know, manufacturing bricks. They are not existing in our world. They are in their own world. We are still having, you know, a civilian radar system that cannot even detect an incoming drone, let alone a missile. So Namibian foreign policy is dangerous. It is dangerous. Very, very dangerous. It's a irresponsible foreign policy that needs to be attended to as a matter of urgency. If you are talking about, if it is true what officials are saying, that we need, you know, national beneficiation of national resources, then we need to first deal with our foreign policy. Even the Americans have their foreign policy. America is a superpower, and America is not a friend to all. It's not an enemy to none. Never. You can't have superpower. You can't be a superpower with such a romantic, irresponsible foreign policy. So, we need to stop this Telemundo type of foreign policy and come down to reality. Then we can talk about oil and gas benefiting our people. Otherwise, we are just talking and we don't know what we are saying. So if there is any national prayer that is approved by cabinet, is for us to pray for government officials to come back to us. If that prayer point is mentioned, I'll be part of the prayer. All right, as said, I'll open my lines now. 083-238-401. It is 8 minutes past the hour, 7 o'clock. I was told that some of you guys are going to work and you want to participate before you go to work, or it was just because of the topic that was being discussed that time. But if you want to be part of the conversation, the number in studio is 083-238-401. Only those that wants to go to work, and they don't want to go be without, you know, participating. But we need a prayer day organized for the government. I have even never heard any official talk about talking about a foreign policy. I've never heard about that. You know, parliamentarians are busy there talking about who is Namibian, who looks like an Italian, who looks like what. And they forget the very important issue at hand. They are the ones to talk about, you know, the foreign policy. They are legislature or legislative. They must come up with a proper foreign policy. This one is a romantic statement. It's not a foreign policy. It's a romantic statement. Do you remember those soapies when you are mine with Diego and Paloma? You know, Gardner's Daughter and all those you know, soapies? That is what the Namibian foreign policy is. It's a romantic statement. For realists like myself, that is a romantic statement. It's not a foreign policy. You cannot be an enemy to none. There's no such a thing. And you can never be a friend to all, even in real life. As I speak now, there are people that don't want to listen to my voice. You know, they don't want to listen to my voice. As long as my show is on air, they will switch off. And they will switch on when somebody else comes in. That's to show you that I'm not a friend to everyone. And I'm not an enemy to none. So, that's now in reality. I don't know where Namibian foreign policy is born from, but it is a romantic statement. That is a romantic statement. It is not a foreign policy. And this is what is empowering, you know, August 26 to make bricks instead of making drones. You see, our neighboring countries have never been ruled by dictators. Otherwise, Angola one day will wake up and say, look, I think we are considering taking Oshikango as part of Angola. And what are you going to do? You are sure you are not going to pour concrete on Angolan forces? So, realities change. The world is like a chameleon. Red today, white tomorrow. Blue next time is black. You don't know. You also need to follow. When they are black, do you have a black color in your system? Put it on. When it is white, you have a white color on your system, you put it on. So the world is about honey and sting. And you cannot give honey to somebody that is looking for a sting. That's not how bee works. The bees, they have a principle. If you want honey, you will get honey in abundance. But if you want a sting, you will get it until you join your ancestors. That's a clear policy. It's a foreign policy of bees. You know, honey is very sweet. And sting is a sting indeed. So if you think you can get both, you will never. Because whatever comes first, you get it in abundance. You get it to the fullest. Whether it is a sting or honey. The bees are good at that. They know when to produce honey. And they know when is it to deliver the most lethal sting that will take you into the bosoms of your ancestor. Yes. Yes, morning.
Daddy Franz.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. You are not part of these people who are going to work. Are you part of this? Are you part of those who said lines should be opened by 7?
Yeah, I work anytime, everywhere.
Okay. All right, you can go on.
Dr. Franz, calling a Namibian foreign policy a romantic statement, you are making a mockery of Namibian sovereignty.
No, so, Namibia has already made a mockery on its sovereignty itself. I'm just stating it out.
No, look, you must make a difference between the documents, the assegulistic, and the role of payer, ne? So you must go directly. You make a difference between the constitution as a document, as a living document in the Namibian foreign policy, as a living document. Then also the player, the people who are supposed to understand what that document is and try to improve it or implement it. So for me, listening to you calling that romantic center, it's an insult of my brother. Because that one, only that sometimes when we see this thing, I only have a problem when people reproduce what is already said. You know, when you say non-alignment and Namibia is none, it's a friend to all, it's enemy to none and a friend to all. That is a natural position of any person, individual person. Ne? That is what is it. You are enemy to who? You are a friend to everybody. But you need to understand that every person have a responsibility of self-defense. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that if you have been attacked, you cannot defend yourself. No. And it doesn't mean which also you cannot build your own self-defensive mechanism simply because you are not enemy to anybody. It doesn't mean that other nations cannot attack you. No. The Namibian foreign policy is just a correct one. It's just at a balance. And that is the center of every human being. If you tell me that you have enemy or you have friends, that's why in nature, there's no one who comes to say, no, I want to be your friend. There's no such a mathematics. Ne? The fact that person is not your friend, is not laughing at you, is not, doesn't mean that you is your enemy. No. That's why I'm saying you can't call a Namibian foreign policy a romantic statement. No, you have to withdraw that one, that first. No. Because like that, we need to understand what is it. For me, I see it as a balance, yin and yang, ne? It's a balance position that we never take side. It's like a person with two hands. That's what Namibian foreign policy is. The left is not enemy to the right, then the right is not enemy to the left. That's what I see it from a diplomacy point of view. You need diplomacy. But in a world where nations are competing for natural resources and something, it's a position now that you need to understand that among those competitors, there are those greedy nations, greedy states, greedy individuals who want to monopolize and maximize their profit at the expenses of other nations. And that is where I always refer to look. When you need to understand this, you must always think from economy and market point of view, if you wanted to understand this. So, and you also need to understand market protection, because Namibia as a country, it's a market on its own. It's an economy on its own. It's a market on its own. But we are not living in an isolation with other, because among the nations, there are all those greedy individuals who want to monopolize, to take everything for themselves, who want to exclude others from that who want to maximize profit at the expense of others. At the end of the day, that is what call, you know, that is what you call a colonialism. So what is wrong with the Namibian foreign policy? There's nothing wrong with it. It's very clear like that. But the what is wrong with the country is to say, what is the Namibian sovereignty threshold? So that you know that this is the yardstick. Ne? You cannot do this. You cannot do this. You can only negotiate up to this level. If not, just back down. That's where we are. And that is where. That's why I have always and realized the fact that, look, we did not understand that there is a child who is born between the colonizer and the colonized people. Mm-hmm. Between colonialism and those that were colonized, there is a child there. What is that child? And what is the responsibility of that child? That's why we don't, and this is what Frantz Fanon called the buffer class. And that child is called the buffer class. Yeah? The people who are preventing, who are keeping the interests of the colonizers, and they claim legitimacy from the people who were colonized. That's why the majority of the people, their anger, their problem never resolved, even after independence. They think, we went in exile, does the exportation stop? No. Has the land returned? No. Does the exclusion and divide and rule stop? No. These things are still among us. You understand? So
why are they among you?
Ne? Which one?
Those things that you have just stated now, why are they still among you?
My friend, I'm telling you because it's a greedy nature of a human being. And the greedy does not need a color or a color of a person, a tribe of a person. It only needs a human being as a carrier, as a host, to serve its purpose. And you have to understand this. That's why people think colonialism is white. Yes, it's white because there were the time when the whites were colonizing and exploiting, excluding the black native majority, ne? from the means of protection and economy. But when the colonizers, the white left, what happened? That's why we said the people, and this is the child I'm talking about now, the buffer class, the people who came now to replace the whites in the offices, ne? These are the people who become the new colonizers. And we need to understand this. That's why I said, if Namibia, you know, Agusta 26, it's making bricks instead of making, you know, drones. What is that now? Because the buffer class, that child is protecting the father. Who is what? Who is the colonizers? Because these structures that you see, it's not yours, was created by what? By the colonizers. You understand? So, and that is where the problem is. That is where, until we just name, what is the name of that child?
That's why I'm saying, even our foreign policy is born from that.
From what?
From what you are just describing now. If you are talking about a child protecting the father.
The thing is, it's a greedy.
You need to explain it well there. Because if you are talking about, you see, if you look at South Africa now, where South Africa is entangled, constitutionally, South Africa is a child of the West. And politically, South Africa is a child of the East. Now, which one is supreme between politically and constitutional?
Okay, let me put this one from a philosophical point of view to say, as we are saying, if the colonizers, the West, are the father of the child, then who is the mother? These are the natives, the people who were colonized, Namibians. These are the mother of the child also. Mara Kuchara, when the West gives the child a name, they say it's democracy. In the Constituent Assembly, they call the Namibian Chasha Andone, democracy, Evina Yu Shashwamos. But when the Constituent Assembly convened, they call that child a constitutional democracy. You understand? So there, and you can see that there, this name constitutional democracy is not a Karishina Jomon Joka, Karishina Jopombaka. That's why the whole thing is just there. That's why that child is still carrying the value and the meaning of the child. But we are saying now, this child now has neglected the mother. The same way we have people who are neglecting their mothers in this society, their parents. That's why we said, this child is getting the legitimacy to remain in power and to rule, to govern the country. Ne? On behalf of both parties now, which is the father and the mother. But you find that they get legitimate through election. They go to power. From there, they turn their back to the mother. Ne? This child, ne? The person who just do work, the angel at the home, outside the house, and also the devil in the house. Meaning, ukanataka rongo konje. Shata karongo ironga komambo, utaka rongo nawa kama nguruka. Maala mingu ina kaha kurongo.
Look, let me tell you, Africans, we are romanticizing serious issues. We are romanticizing serious issues. Why don't you have an African nuclear power? And why don't you have an African permanent seat? In the so-called, you know, United Nations Security Council.
This is what, we are not romanticizing it.
But no, we are romanticizing. There was a report now there was a report, embarrassing report on SADC's defense.
Let me tell you, the lack of understanding on state governance and the sovereignty of the nation does not mean Namibia foreign policy or the constitution is wrong. That's when you need to understand. That's it. Concentrate on the role player, the people who are given the mandate to ensure the sovereignty of the nation. And what is the sovereignty of the nation? It's ownership of the country.
Ownership.
Yes, of the country. Yeah.
Guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And you cannot, let me tell you, and you cannot sustain the sovereignty of the nation if you don't have power, both economic and military.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So if you don't have power, what do you do? You resort to romantic statement. Because you are speaking from a weak position. And all you have is romance to keep everyone happy and keep them far from you.
Tara, if we don't have power now, is that the problem of the Namibian foreign policy or Namibian constitution? Hell no. No. Because the constitution gives, even when you read even the constitution, that Namibian is a sovereign nation. It says that. What is the meaning of it? Is the power of the country to defend its ownership, its
Look,
own existence.
You can come the up with a, we can come up with a best constitution. And if you don't have power to defend it, it becomes a romantic statement. It is becoming a romantic book.
But I'm telling you, who's supposed to be that power now? It's a role player. Because the constitution...
That
is
what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. Instead of praying for road accident, we need to pray for government officials to come back to earth because they are not on earth.
That's why I said that. There we are correcting.
So we are saying the same thing. We are just putting it differently. You are just afraid of the word romantic.
I differ with
but it is. No, it is.
I'm defending the document, the living document. I'm not defending individuals. Because these are the buffer people. Ne?
Fine, you can defend. You can defend the living document. What makes the document living is because of the power to keep it living. But if you don't have power to keep it living, it's a dead document.
You need people who understand the document, the fundamental meaning of the document.
Who are those people? You don't have those people.
Myself, I'm here. Can't you hear me what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you are not at the helm of government.
He doesn't. No.
So your understanding, what does Namibia benefit from your understanding? From a power standpoint?
Let me tell
from,
you.
For argument's sake, yes, you are correct. But we are talking about the real power to keep the word beneficiation so that a Namibian person can benefit from oil 100%. You need power to do that.
That difference, I'm saying, that is the wrong narrative that we always push in the public. And this is the purpose of this platform, is to educate and inform. You understand? Meaning to say, you don't need to be in the office to occupy an office, to occupy a position, to influence how people think. No. That's the wrong narrative we have. We are pushing. You say, you only need to become a minister, or a president. That's what I said. First of all, you need a wisdom and understanding how these things work. So that when you go there, you know what are the problems, what state governance is all about. There are people who occupy those positions simply because they are looking for jobs. They are employees. Ne? They want salaries. They want benefit. They want privilege that come with the position. But when you ask them about state governance and sovereignty of the nation, zero, there's nothing. So that's where we said, for me, I will defend the Namibian foreign policy 2009. It's correct. The same way I would defend the Namibian constitution to say, look, it's okay. Ne? Especially when it comes to chapter 3. That one is very correct. Ne? Because it gives the Bill of Rights. That is what every person wants in life. You can come up with your own concept about, communism or socialism or what. But my friend, you need the Bill of Rights that cannot be tampered with by anybody, whatever system that you are using. But I'm telling you, if people do not understand the true intentions and the aspiration of the Constitution and the Namibian foreign policy, we cannot blame the what? Because the foreign policy did not say, no, we cannot build military capacity. We cannot build nuclear weapons. No, it doesn't say like that. But all the powerful nations, they have them. And that's why I'm saying even in the USA-Iran conflict, they tell you all the languages that you want to hear. But the truth is, it's all about economy and market, demand and supply. Who controls what? And the ultimate, the Americans, is to say, look, they don't want the Iran to develop nuclear capacity to defend itself. Because whoever has a nuclear weapon is the one cannot be attacked. You see, now you have a full sovereignty. I told you many times and say, look, those rights that you see the Americans, wherever they are preaching and the Western are preaching, they sound nice when you listen to them. But I'm telling you, in reality, when you reach the level where you really apply your mind that you also want to compete in a global market as a player, my friend, you are going to end up in a war with these guys.
Yeah, that's what we are talking about.
And
the casualties, the people that are collateral damage are those who are in the romantic world structure of when other people are in the reality.
Look, you take a country like China, for instance. Ne? Why China has the power, both economic and military? Because did you think they did not acquire this power when America was in existence? They did. Because first they have to understand they have to use diplomacy. Also, they used to understand how economy and the global politics.
Because they moved away from Hollywood and the Telemundo lifestyle.
It was, my friend, it was like...
They came into reality.
Mm-mm. Or reality, it's like something like that. You have to do to use a lot of protectionism because you don't need to. Nation doesn't need to know what you are doing. You understand? That's why these people, that's why they tell you, we are getting money from tourism. Can't you see this? Some of these people are just spies. These people are just spies. And you have American, apparently, Peace Corps or special, apparently they are volunteers. This is fine. If you understand from sovereign point of view, this is fine.
Okay, so I've kept you for a long time. You can come back. I still have a lot of stories here.
Okay.
Yes. Guys, I'm yet to be convinced to withdraw my statement. Africa is a romantic continent. We make romantic statements. We come up with romantic documents. Until we start to walk the talk, I will not withdraw my statement. So, I'm speaking it out of love, not out of hatred. I'm saying until we start walking the talk, my statement will still stand that we are romantic. Because we are speaking from weak position all the time. And romanticism is not bad, it's not good, it's not bad to be romantic, but we need to know when to be romantic. Okay, we are moving out of that. We are moving off that one. But I'm yet to be convinced that Namibia's foreign policy is okay. So I'm yet to be convinced. If you have something and you cannot defend it, you don't have power to keep it. That's a problem already in itself. But we are moving. Ondangwa Oshikango rail line goes 2 years without a train on its rail. Okay. Ondangwa, let me read it properly. I'm reading problematically here. Ondangwa Oshikango goes 2 years without a train on its rail. The 57 kilometers Ondangwa Oshikango railway line, which costed Namibian dollars 329 million to construct, has gone more than 2 years without a train or without a Trans-Namib train. Let me read back again. The 57 kilometers Ondangwa Oshikango rail line, which costed 329 million Namibian dollars to construct, has gone more than 2 years without a Trans-Namib train. The Trans-Namib spokesperson said that the last train movement between Ondangwa and Oshikango took place on the 12th of July 2024. The railway line was inaugurated by President Hifikepunye Pohamba in 2012. The state-owned railway company says that the services to Oshikango has not been discontinued. Oshikango is earmarked as a dry port facility as trade between Angola and Namibia continues to grow. Continues to grow. This is Alina Garrison's saying. Now I'm just quoting her. She added that engagements are ongoing to secure imports and export cargo with intermodals and railway services in Namibia expected to play a key role in supporting the logistics solutions. Alina Garrison says the railway line was established to facilitate trade between Namibia and Angola. The railway would form part of the Namibilubango-Oshikango Walvis Bay Development Corridor. The Transnamib says that the railway still has the potential to become an important trade route if Angola eventually connects its rail network to Namibia. The media reported at the time that the railway project which was driven by the former president Sam Nujoma in the early 2000s was funded by the Arab Bank of Economic Development in Africa with 35.2 million, and then the Kuwait Fund for Arab Economic Development, that is of course 64.5 million. However, the Namibian government also made financial contributions to the project. That's the story. You know why I'm pausing? The reason why I'm pausing is because the plan to build the railway was good, and it's still good. And when Ondangwa, Tsume Bondangwa, because this one is coming from Tsume Bondangwa, and then Oshikango to Ondangwa to Oshikango was the last one. The problem was that at that time, Namibia seemed to have not informed Angola of the plan to build, to construct railway. So Angola was in its own world in the early 2000s, because I remember that time the Minister of Transport, of Works and Transport, was the former Honorable Moses Amuelo. It was during his time as Minister of Works and Transport. And, you know, it was the rail was built. People in the north volunteered to build. And it was a very good project. But the problem is that Namibia, that's $329 million. Namibia did not get it back through the railway. Because now Transnamib is forced to compete with track, with businesses that have tracks. There was no synergy between track owners and Transnamib on how trade will be done. Because that was a new world order, so to say, economically, for or the northern regions. That was a new world order. So what are you going to do with those that are having trucks and they are transporting goods from Windhoek to wherever in the north? What is going to happen? So how do you expect Transnamib to make money under such a, you know, environment? That's impossible. So what the government was going to, was supposed to do is to limit, to say how far the trucks can go. That the trucks can come to Ondangwa and get their cargo from Ondangwa because the of the rail line ends in, you know, there is a rail station in Ondangwa. So Transnamib is supposed to transport cargo from Windhoek to Ondangwa or vice versa. And then truck drivers come at the rail station, and that's where, you know, like they create a hub, a logistic hub, logistics hub, where trucks will load cargo and they take inside. So that was not done. And that's why now there will be 2 or 3 years without a Transnamib train. Because what will Transnamib transport? You know, the government was supposed to come up with a law to say if you are, you know, goods of this, you know, magnitude should not be transported by trucks. The goods of this magnitude should be transported by train. And we empower the train. By this time, we could have new, have had maybe new locomotives that could have, you know, been bought through this, you know, through this railway or rail line. Because the north is a big place. And the cargo that should go to the north is bigger. It's larger. So, now, Angola, by that time, Angola was also in its world. They were busy fighting UNITA. And they were, you know, dragging all resources they have to defeat UNITA. So Angola at that time was not in a position of even talk about, you know, railway, because Angola was not stable. You cannot spend 329 million, excuse me, to build a railway station when you need the same amount to buy, you know, munition and, you know, military, you know, pay for military logistics. So Angola was not in the right, you know, position to do that. So we are going for a short break. Then we can come back and continue. Don't forget, I will also open my lines at 8. I'll also open my lines at 8. So I still have a lot to talk about. I'm yet to be convinced.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. So Angola was not in the right, you know, position in the early 2000s, because that's when the war was on its really peak. I remember going to Katima in the year 2000, you know, where we have to be escorted by the military, by the defense force. We have to be escorted by the Kaspers. Because UNITA forces will cross into, you know, into Western Caprivi or Rundu, that area of Andara, and they will attack. So the Namibian defense will escort you, and they will leave you at Omega 3, somewhere there. And then from Omega 3, fire, you are on your own. So that time it was not an easy time for Angola. Angola was busy fighting tooth and nail to make sure they crush and defeat UNITA. And at least eventually in February 2002, UNITA was defeated, because General Savimbi was killed. And then from there, Angola was now trying to recover. Maybe that is the time, maybe when Uncle Pohamba came in. By that time, at least Angola has gone further. There was also, the economy was starting to pick up. Maybe they were supposed to resuscitate to say, Angola, why can't you build a railway, even a 50 kilometers? Whatever, I don't know how it works. Maybe from Rwanda to Santa Clara. I don't know how many kilometers that is going to be. That is between Santa Clara and Luanda. So you build a railway from Santa Clara and Luanda, from Luanda to Santa Clara, and then Namibia can also now build, you know, from Oshkango into Santa Clara to connect. Yeah, for now, we are only talking about future. We don't know when Angola will decide to do that. So we don't know when Angola will decide to do that. But with trucks, this is very difficult to have the train, you know, moving to Ondangwa, you know, to compete with trucks. We have a lot of trucks that come from the north, that come to take goods here, and vice versa. So what was the plan about the trucks? The government did not come up clear. And so then Trans-Namib was thrown into the deeper end to fend for itself. And it was a problem, because you see, all the time we are talking about Trans-Namib, all the time being bailed out, you know, and all that. But we need to also understand that Trans-Namib is thrown at the deeper, in the deeper end. As far as the Northern Rail Line is concerned, because the government was supposed to say no more trucks transporting this magnitude. From this magnitude, from this to this, yes, trucks can be transporting from this to this. But if something is beyond this, no. You need to use the train. Yeah. The government can even, the government can then allow Trans-Namib to be transporting the train, to be transporting cargo with its train. Because they put a limit, they just needed to put a cap on what needs to be transported by trucks, what magnitude, from what to what. Then the government has to, you know, put a law and, you know, punishable for anybody violating that. But now there's no law. They have opened up the market. So if you open up the market, you how do you expect Trans-Namib to now compete with the trucks? And we are talking about decongesting, you know, B1. We are going to decongest it. B1 can only be decongested if train is given power. That, guys, if it is cement, you know, you transport cement, timber, all those things, heavy stuff, they must be in a train. And then the train must be, you know, improved to the point that it is efficient. That the transportation of the train is efficient. That if the train take off today, I must receive my things tomorrow. Because we are talking about business now here. Business cannot wait that the train is taking 3 to 4 to 5 days to reach, you know, the north. Yeah, there must then be an efficient transport system that makes the train take off at 3 o'clock yesterday, and by today they are offloading at 7. In the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, the cargo is delivered. And then trucks will come and take the cargo from Ondangwa. Ondangwa becomes a logistic hub. Those who are from Oshakati, they have trucks, Oshakati going up to, you know, Omsati, they're going to, you know, Okongo, wherever in the north, Rundu, you know, Katima. Or maybe the ones that are from Katima, they take their cargo to, you know, in Grootfontein. You make Grootfontein the logistic hub for now while you are busy extending. Because even if we say we want to extend the railway line from Grootfontein to Katima, that's almost maybe 800 to 900 kilometers. And then to the border of Zambia. You know, you can say that, okay, Katima is a logistic hub. The trucks that come from Zambia, bringing whatever they are bringing, they come in Katima. And then we load that into the train. And it takes to Walvis Bay. Or Windhoek. So, we no longer allow trucks to travel from Zambia to Windhoek. Or from Zambia to Walvis Bay. No, we will no longer allow that, because now we have a railway, we have a rail line from Katima to Grootfontein, then Grootfontein, you know, that rail goes up to Walvis Bay. So you come up with that law, but now there's no law. And then it will be easy for Trans-Namib train to not to be seen on Dango or Chicago rail line for 2 or 3 years, even 4 years. That would be normal. It's not even supposed to be a surprise. It's not supposed to be a surprise, because what is the train bringing, which is cannot be brought by trucks? So how do you expect the train to be on the rail all the time when whatever it's supposed to be bring to be brought there is brought already by trucks? So that is the problem. That's a predicament in which you know, Trans-Namib is at this point in time, because there was no law. It is a good initiative, and I also believe that, you know, this rail line has a potential, but that potential is yet to be seen. We don't know when Angola is going to decide to build the railway to connect with Oshikango. We don't know. So, some people are saying no, because Angola is also building Lubito or whatever. No, Lubito does not stop Angola from building rail line to connect here. The Lubito thing does not, in fact, even when people are talking about the DRC, you know, coastal corridor. The DRC coastal corridor is very small. It cannot become a logistic hub to match, for example, Walvis Bay and Durban. You know, there is no cost in SADC that can match Durban and Walvis Bay. There is no cost, there is no port infrastructure in SADC that can match those two port infrastructures. Durban and Walvis Bay will still beat every one of them. Let's go for a short break and we continue.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Okay. We come back and we are going to look at this story. The Prime Minister Elijah Ngurare says that agriculture is the foundation of Namibia's 6th National Development Plan, and has a critical role to play in the country's development agenda. This is in the speech that was read on behalf, on his behalf, at the, it was the official opening of the Epukiro Business and Agricultural Expo on Friday. Ngurare says NDP 6 an economy that is more diversified, productive, inclusive, capable of creating decent employment. Okay, let me reread this one. Repeat it again. Very important. So this is a Epukiro Agricultural Expo, and the Prime Minister has sent a speech. He was not there, but the speech was read on his behalf, and I've just summarized it for you. So the Prime Minister Elijah Ngurare says that agriculture is the foundation of Namibia's sixth National Development Plan and has a critical role to play in the country's development agenda. And this is the speech read on his behalf at the official opening of Epukiro Business and Agricultural Expo on Friday. Ngurare says NDP 6 seeks an economy that is more diversified, productive, inclusive, and capable of creating decent employment. Then there's a quote. Agriculture has a critical role to play in achieving this ambition. End of quote. Ngurare says NDP 6 states that by 2030, Namibia should produce 80% of its national food requirements from 60% currently, or compared to the current baseline of 60%. He emphasized that farmers should increasingly be supported on not only as producers but as agricultural entrepreneurs. That's a speech of the Prime Minister in short. Okay, the problem we have with agriculture in the country. The only problem we have with agriculture in the country is the underfunding. When you look at the budget, the national budget, you see that agriculture is underfunded. They only receive around 1.5 billion. Or sometimes 3 billion. So they don't go beyond that. The most funded sectors are the education and health sectors. Those are the ones that receive a huge chunk of money. But if you are to give agriculture, for example, 30 billion, you are likely to have, a very powerful support base for people who want to become agricultural entrepreneurs. But also at the same time, the government has put up good, initiatives and in fact, mechanism to support, agriculture by coming up with Agribank. And Agribank has mechanisms that they have put in place to support farmers. So the Ministry of Agriculture itself has, you know, has departments and levels that they've created with the little money that they have. They are able to do, to carry out campaigns here and there to, in order to support, you know, farmers. So I think the 80% food production in Namibia, I would say it can, it is achievable. Here I will be pro Namibian. Here I want to be pro government. So the, when it comes to agriculture, what the government need to do, they just need to put more effort. But otherwise, if this is achievable. Yeah, it's achievable because you see the Ministry of Agriculture sometimes giving a moratorium to say no import of this and this and this product because we have enough in the country. You know? So those are good, you know, initiatives. And also the Ministry of Agriculture, when they are trying to grant licenses to, you know, producers, different producers to produce various, you know, products and sell in the country, that is part of the plan. That's good. That's very good. And they have a very strong way of, you know, invigilating and, you know, supervising to find, to see that they, you know, producers are following the Namibian laws as far as, you know, agriculture is concerned. So this is some of these good things that the government is doing. But yes, the economy or the economic plan of NDP 6 seeks to create a more diversified, you know, productive, inclusive, and, you know, capable of creating decent employment. Like, you know, when people are getting into horticulture and aquaculture, crop farming, even, you know, subsistent farmers can be empowered, not just becoming, you know, just farming for consumption, but they can also farm for business. So, we need to also diversify, because now we have harvested. What is our field doing now? Our fields now are laying waste. Nothing is being done. Why don't we diversify? We make twice. There are some crops that we can plant that don't really need rain. They just need few drops of water. And we can sell while we are busy, you know, waiting for the next rain season. And we are being told that there is something like an El Nino, and it's going to be very hot. There might not be enough rain. So all those projections should not alarm us, because we have a diversified, you know, farming mechanism. It is 12 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. We are going for a short break in 3 minutes' time, but before we go for a short break, the Zambian courts are surrounded, are encircled by the police, and which is, security forces to prevent, the opposition from filing. From filing an application to challenge the election results and the swearing in of or the inauguration of the current president that won his second seat. His second seat he won during the elections. That was almost chaotic. So the government has made sure that the police encircles the courts to make sure that no opposition will approach the court. Okay, so that's a democracy in other countries, but I think when it comes to democracy, though I was critical of Namibia's foreign policy, but when it comes to internal democratic system, when it comes to democratic examples, I think all the countries in SADC can but imitate Namibia, Namibia and Botswana. Because there is no...
Need some help with the groceries this month? Then YouSave has a competition that is just for you. Every Friday between 1 and 2 p.m., Eagle FM will be giving away a $500 YouSave voucher. To stand a chance of winning the $500 YouSave voucher, all you have to do is follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and be on the lookout for the weekly competition question. YouSave, where good food costs less.
Okay, so there is no chaos after elections. Courts are not surrounded by the police, because if you said you won legitimately, why do you need to encircle the courts? Because the courts is the only hope that the opposition will have, and you are taking that away as well. No, that's undemocratic. Because if you have won, then allow people to challenge and let the voice of the court speak. So now the court has been there is an override over the court. And then what? So that does not set a correct picture for Zambia. That does not set a correct democratic picture for Zambia. It's Zambia, Zimbabwe, they are becoming one thing in common. They are starting to have one thing in common. Because just take, for example, in 2019, there was election. In 2020, elections were challenged. Or about in December 2019, the independent candidate that time, Dr. Pandeleni Tula, went to challenge the elections in court because the elections should be nullified because of the use of the EVM without auditable paper trail. So it went to court. And when it went to court, the minister was also found that he misunderstood a certain section, but then the court determines that the election should just be, the result should remain. And everyone said, okay, we respect the court's decision. And they moved on. Secondly, was the 2024 elections that were challenged to say the president did not have the right to extend elections. He misused the presidential power. He abused executive power. That was, of course, Bernadette Swadboy, also Itula and others that felt that way, and they went to court. And what did the court say? We know what the court said, and we are now moving on. We are in the second year of the 8th administration. Everyone happily, occupying their space. So surrounding the courts with police, that's really Hichilema showing that he is very weak. Because if you are a leader and you see, it's the same thing that happened in Tanzania where the president arrested all oppositions. You know, all opposition figures that have a potential to compete with her were arrested and then released, and then she competed with herself. Literally. She competed with herself and then won 98%. So, and will SWAPO now be, will SWAPO use Chama cha Mapinduzi as an example? No. SWAPO shouldn't go that way. So, I think Chama cha Mapinduzi and all those parties should maybe learn from SWAPO. Now, that's a bit of a thorn in your flesh because I'm saying learn from SWAPO. You are about to accuse me of being a pro-SWAPO or paid by SWAPO. But what I'm saying is the internal democratic processes in Namibia are worth imitating by other countries. Because Namibia has a stable way of solving issues. And this credit also goes to the opposition. You know, none of the opposition, you know, is in their instinct. They are not thinking of violence. And that has proven itself to be so true again and again. Starting with COD, RDP, PDM, LPM, AR, you know, IPC, those are major parties. None of these parties have caused chaos after elections. You have matured opposition leaders that go to the point of saying, okay, fine. The results from the courts are not as satisfactory as we want, but let's move on. They have a matured way of taking in, and that maturity must be imitated by Zambia. Morning.
The President,
you want to give me stomach cramps in the morning?
Nah, not necessarily. We just need to say information. You know what is wrong, ne? It's you know what is wrong, ne? And what we need, we just need a right of evidence-based governance. You understand? Where every person in Namibia has a right to have a public decision made on the basis of verified fact, empirical research, and scientific evidence. To say, no law in Namibia must be made. No law in Namibia or policy must just be adapted without any independent, you know, impact assessment on the Namibian sovereignty. This is what you are saying. See, people are just wake up in the room, in your bed or whatever. You go in the bedroom simply because you are the CEO, because you are board of director. You make a decision. Based on what?
Exactly, because now, you see, you have an official in the Ministry of Agriculture who made a decision. I think it's his only decision, and now this contract has to be terminated, and now apparently there are actions being considered against such an official.
Yeah, those are the problems. Because there's not, if you take, for instance, the case of Transnamib and the railway something, there's nothing wrong to build the railway because it's for transportation of goods and the people. You understand? But we are saying, what are the, data, both long-term and short-term, short-term and long-term, on the operation of the whole thing from economy and market point of view now. There's nothing. But when you look at it, it's just these people who are tender-minded, you know, who just want to make a decision quickly and make money from north of the tender. Then from there, they let then the project will remain, you know, white elephant. But, and the problem starts like this. You know, and this is where we are always get wrong in the country, because we don't want to differentiate between public and private. We are in a free market. Ne? We are in a free market. But why a private company have to do the work of the government when the government has the capacity to do it? For instance, you have trust money. Ne? And you find that when there is even a tender for government or to for what, things have to be transported. For instance, you go to house, who is there? There is that factory breaking machine, factory that makes those nice, you know, bricks, those yellow and red something. Now you want to construct a hospital at water in Ohangwen, in Oshikango, for instance, in Okatima with the same brick in Namibia. Of course, you need trust Namibia. Why do you have to you use trucks to do that? But when an individual person wants the same bricks to build his own house or his business in Oshakati, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you have public structure and public institutions, but they are not doing their work. You understand? Their work has been given to individuals, to private, to do money. Yeah? Because people, if you could make a research, you could understand that, look, which customer are you going to serve here? Now, we are even planning to have a railway between Zambezi to maybe to Grootfontein. It's a good thing. But did you also realize from a global market to say, there is a Rubito Corridor also from Angola there, Mozambique, Zambia there, up to Tanzania?
Yeah, but that Rubito Corridor, people are misunderstanding it.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to stop any other corridor from existing. I think needs to be done is to create a synergy to say, how do we operate in sync? Because for Zambia to go and reach there, they need this one here. They need the Sisheke, you know, we need to have the Winela, Sisheke rail line that they can use from inside Zambia.
That's why I said that from infrastructure point of view and development going forward, there's nothing wrong.
Mm.
Because when you have it, because what if one day there is like a conflict in Angola, for instance, in those countries, they might not use that corridor. While you have here then the road, it's the same as Zambian trucks, they are using Namibian road and Namibian airport port, but it's very simple because now that the corridor doesn't exist. You understand? So, but we are saying, for how long? And what is the alternative if that market is not there? This is what, you know, and this is what the research we are talking about, that to say, look, don't just wake up and make a decision. To say, on the highway today, we are going to put a speed hunt. What is that? Oh, no, let's end Namibia and come back. But you know, before in Namibian, the institution was there, what made it collapse? These are the questions we're still having. And that ghost is still going to hurt Trans Namibia. And that ghost, the same ghost, is still going to hurt those who want to put the railway between Zambezi and God's women. From infrastructure development, it's not wrong. But we are saying, how can we build infrastructure that will just lying there as a white elephant to some point? Because you really need market research to understand this thing, both immediate and what. If it was not like that, you see, Then when you go to Oshakati from Mokapsa, there is that bridge, apparently for the railway. But why you have to build a bridge there? For what? What does that bridge is serving, which purpose now as you are speaking? But because there were some individuals who were interested in making money from that project, it's like that. And we did not invent to say, look, apart from the goods, can we use now the railway as a what? As a transportation for the people? Why that provision is not there? Ne? Why that provision is not there? So I see you build the railway with the Onomashina, with those locomotives of all the versions. Instead of buying and using the new technology, the new machine, the locomotives that are fast. People are using bullet trains. But you, when you are going to the market, you are still going buying the locomotive of 1950s model. What nonsense is that? And you are saying you are in this area.
Okay, just hold on.
Internet, yendelela, to iturirwa moshari. Ove, toho pifanatango shimaruwa shifike pedola danamibi oma waveja avali na mafele eja tano. Okujame fikula tetela aguste, fioma mafikwejo milongo natuwa September. Itoka pulo ufuto shimaruwa shonumba, okuturirwa mwe akulolo engenge, oele shangifo kontrakta keshe yo Peratus Fiber, ile Skyfi. Oto turirwa mwe akulolo ripelo internet. Kupifa fio pedola danamibi oma waveja avali na mafele eja tano. Omeumbo ilo monge shefa, eakulo only nongushu. Talela po peratus.africa/Namibia. De toli shangifanena.
That France, when it comes to agriculture, it's not underfunded. No, that statement is totally wrong.
No, it's underfunded according to parliamentarians. Me, look, I don't speak things from my head. I always have reference because I know what I'm talking about. It can be used against me. I always have. That's why I follow Parliament more than anybody else because I get statements from Parliament and I come and make them here.
That's why I said that's a fallacy. That's a fallacy because that's a political statement they are making to justify the failure to deliver. There is no enough money. There is no less money. That's what I'm telling you. For you to answer that question, only when you have facts, as we are saying here. Underfunded from what? Because if you are saying, if they are underfunded, let's see what are they getting out of the budget that they are getting. Let's see what is the operational budget of that. The money that go to the salary. And also, they also use the same, but you also find ministry returning money to treasury. What is that? My friend, we cannot be in the, that's why I said, we have to avoid political deception here. And the parable language, the politician are used to deceive the public to think, there's not enough, you know. They keep on demanding money, you see. But there will be nothing. Because the problem is like, we want things to be done the same day. And we already know, Okaania Gavratakendi, my friend. Okaania Gavratakendi, you must do piece by piece. If you want to eat an apparent elephant, just piece by piece. You want to say you are going to finish the whole elephant. There's no such a mathematics. And that's what people are thinking. Because the money that are there, how many white elephants that are there? When you go to Kongora, there is that thing of a crocodile, you know, apparently. How many millions that were spent on that infrastructure? Very nice one. There's nothing happening there. But you are here telling us, there's no money, no. That's why we said, we need in the constitution, just to add that article in a bit of right, to say, there should be evidence-based governance, right? So that every decision must be made should be have all those elements, a medical study, verified fact, and all scientific evidence. It must be there.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kwezi.
Okay.
Yes.
You cannot just come in the public and tell people, there's no money, it's underfunded. No. There's no such a thing.
All right. Okay. That's why I'm saying you people are romantic, romantic speakers, and you don't want to listen to me. So I will not withdraw any statement until we start walking the talk in Africa. We cannot just continue talking about the walk. And we talk about the walk, the journey we have not walked.
Good morning, Reverend.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine.
When
it comes to what is happening there at the railway, between the train, between Oskango and the Tsume Bend or so on. This project, I was not thinking about what they were singing. Now they were singing to import to transport things from Valses through Valses Bay to Angola, and taking a mineral from Urubango, surround Urubango and other Kashinga there to Valses Bay. Yeah, but now that time it is over because you see now they are developing their port there. Since they were using this port to have their goods from overseas through Valses Bay, it stopped long time. And then now, if you plan for that, that is not a future. I was maybe planning about the oil. Maybe they will taking fuel from Angola to Namibia or other things. Like in maybe agricultural production, so that they can even refine it here, because Angola is good in agriculture. It's a big country. They can even import maize, and they come here because our the currency, for Angola, Angolan currency is weaker. The Namibia is stronger. To import maize and refine it here, maybe it will be better than. That situation which we that idea which we're thinking about, it will come to an end. You build a strong wall to the very weak foundation. It will fall out. And this situation, well, the plan now, it will continue dying, because now, Angola, Botswana, they went the far extra mile because they built what. They are busy building finance in Angola. While Namibia is not a part of it. This is that Namibia they made a poor planning. It's totally poor planning. It won't work. It won't help, because I don't know if it will be Angola will build a railway line from Urubango to Oshikango. What is the purpose of that? What will he get there? Because I will head the Ministry of Transport, Work and Transport. He was there in Angola, discussing about the railway from Urubango to Oshikango, from Oshikango to Minonge, which is not even a good, it's a daydream. I don't think it will happen. If it will happen, not now, it's after, maybe 50 years. I don't know if we are just like that. Then even our president, those American business people who have come for about Robito and so on, Robito Corridor, she was there. But her point there is out of what everything was discussed there. Because there she said, no, we don't care what we are. We will do our industry, our own industry, and so on. But people, they were not talking about industry. They said we want to getting our things from DRC, Zambia, through Robito Corridor. Mainly from DRC, those American and other things, they still need that things to their country. But they got where they can even find it. They were in discussion with DRC and Zambia to get the raw material like copper and so on like that, so that it could go through there. But we are out
matter we were there in the discussion, we were not concentrated, and we miss a point there. We don't understand what we are doing there, what they are planning. Therefore, I think it will be like that, and it will be that dead on itself. Our project, the oil on their infant, dying, plan and die. Like that. If it's like that, I don't know. If it's like that, we want the goal. We want successful. Because our poor planning, it will result in what we call the situation we are today. This is because of that.
Okay.
We must plan properly, and we plan for future, not like what short-term planning, like what we did there.
Yeah.
Money wasted, nothing has been out of that where we put money. We never got anything. We never got our outcome. We never get what we were planning to get there. Always we are failing. Planning to fail.
Okay. Thank you very much. 083-288-401, that's the number in studio. I can tell you now that there is no port infrastructure in SADC that can match that of Durban and Walvis Bay. Not at this point. In fact, not in future, because by the time Angola or Mozambique or Tanzania come to our level, we have already gone to higher level. So those countries wasted time. Those countries wasted time. So I don't think they will be able to, even if they build port, they will still need Durban. They will still need Walvis Bay. They will still need Walvis Bay. They will still need Durban. So I think Namibia, the railway line built from everywhere, is still a viable economic plan. What Namibia need to do is to cease from employing old locomotive systems. That's the only problem, but that's what Namibia can afford at this point. The new locomotives are expensive. So the new locomotives are expensive. Unless Namibia gets money from where, I don't know where, to build bullet trains. Because with bullet trains, they can travel fast in an hour. Can cover 1,000 kilometers. So which means I can rent a house in Katima and work in Windhoek. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's if you are talking about bullet train. But for Namibia to have bullet trains, well, that's still very expensive, because you need, new age locomotive systems and new rail technologies. So, unless you talk with the Chinese or the Russians or the Americans to help in that regard, and whatever deal you are going to do, but with oil and gas, we are going to say, look, we can give you one oil field and you can build us that. Morning.
Morning, Tate France. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm very good.
Hmm.
I wanted to talk about the first topic that you started with.
You can just start with this one.
With this one?
No, you can start with the first topic.
Yes. The one that you talked about, the AI thing that, tender that has been cancelled.
Yes.
And one asks, actually, how did the cat go through the window or got inside the house? Because you're asking, how did this happen? Because when we hear that, when I first heard that Namibia is giving this tender to the U.S., the first thing that came to my mind was the concern, the biggest concern of why would they want to monitor our crops? For what purpose? Those are the questions. Those are the fundamental questions that we should ask ourselves. Why is it important in the first place? Because it's called 6th Gen Corp, which is basically an American agricultural technology company, which basically now specialize what in the use of AI and satellite data collection. So at the end of the day, what are they going to use this data for? Because we understand this, these people are actually busy with what we understand is called the seed banks. We already understand there's a seed bank in what? In the Netherlands. We understand of the organization, SeedCo, which is basically operating in 15 African countries. Zimbabwe, South Africa is basically also one of them as well. What's happening? What is SeedCo busy with? Because at the end of the day, they're actually monitoring your crops. They monitor your crops. At the end of the day, the type of foods that they are producing nowadays, what? It's basically seedless fruits. Why are they producing seedless fruits at the end of the day or products? Because in the future, these people are actually busy patterning the seeds. When they pattern those seeds, what happened? In the future, you cannot use any particular seed without the patent holder.
Exactly.
So what does that mean? It means that they end up controlling you.
You are talking about big pharma and big tech at play.
We are talking about big pharma and big tech. And this is a major problem that we do not see, because we cannot just blindly accept anything that the U.S. give to us. Because look, when you look at Bill Gates, Bill Gates has been one of the people that has always been pushing the agenda of contraceptives. Now we have so many illnesses in Africa. No one is talking about Ebola in DRC. But then they are pushing the agenda of Africa, the need for Africa to have contraceptives. Why is it so important? And our government has actually been lured into that particular idea whereby they've been pushing the agenda of contraceptives through the USAID programs. And we have been blindly following that particular agenda of receiving, contraceptives. Yes, contraceptives are actually good for what? For birth control. But at the end of the day, why does a particular country want to push it into Namibia and they are not pushing it into their own country?
No, look, the Namibia is even 3 million. Mm. And Namibia is supposed to increase product, it is supposed to increase population. They are increasing their populations, they are not capping their population because they understand what purchase power parity is.
Exactly. Look, why is Nigeria has the largest economy now? And the Nigerians are still going to what? To South Africa. Why? It's because of the population at the end of the day. Because population is power. When you look at what Bill Gates is doing, with the Bill Gates Foundation, he's buying up so much farmland in the United States alone already, about 270,000 acres of land. What is he doing with that particular land? That is these farms that is busy buying up. Those are the questions that we should ask ourselves. When you look at the same foundation again, it's the same foundation that is also funding the WHO nutrition divisions and food security panel. So you ask yourself, why is he funding those particular divisions that are very much important to human survival? I think those are fundamental questions that we are not asking ourselves. When you look at the Flaxner report, which was actually done in 1910 by Albert Flaxner. This is a report which actually changed how we use medication today, which was basically pushed. It was actually done with the support of Kissinger. After that, who was actually pushing it? It was basically the Rockefeller. The Rockefeller pushed this particular agenda of what? Of the Flaxner report, which actually changed how we use medication today. So at the end of the day today, you cannot use food. Because look, when you are sick, Dr. France, you can actually treat yourself with just your diet and just take a few supplements of our normal herbs. They completely destroyed that. So what do we do now? Now we depend on Big Pharma. That's where we are right now. So at the end of the day, these people, whatever program that they have actually this program on how, what, with an agenda to change how we actually benefit from those particular things that we benefit from and change the whole agenda so that we can actually start benefiting from them. Because there's no way that you can actually just want to come and study our agricultural land and how we actually use it. I was even surprised that most of our millets, our mahangu, even comes from India. This is what we call okaja. No, the government is actually supplementing and giving mahangu to people so that they can grow. Where does it come from? It's not grown in Namibia. You spoke about GMO as well, Mr. Franz, at the beginning of your show. Now Namibia have an agenda or program that we do not accept GMOs to be grown in Namibia. But when you look at Namib meal, where do they get most of their maize from? It comes from South Africa, not produced in Namibia. And what does South Africa produce? South Africa have a right to produce what? GMOs. So we cannot produce them here because I remember there was a farmer who was basically doing that and he was stopped. But we are still importing GMOs at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I think those are fundamental questions that we need to ask. What our policy says and the loopholes that actually hampers those policies for being practiced. That's why I agree with you when you say that we are basically being romanticizing things because, look, there's no way that we say that we're against a particular thing, but at the same time, we become what? We become lukewarm.
It's foreign policy.
Exactly. Foreign policy. That's why I was even disappointed in the oil and gas. The deputy president says that, look, Namibia itself, we have no plan in producing oil. Those words, that's what he said. We have no plans or desire to produce oil ourselves. So in other words, this oil is for taking. Since you have the biggest amount of money to actually invest, you can go ahead and actually take this particular thing, and we will not even be a hindrance to you who's coming to collect this particular thing, which belongs to us, which is in our land. Mr. Franz, let me drop there.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, so that's why I'm telling you that I need to be convinced. I am ready to withdraw my statement. I can withdraw it anytime. But I'll let it hang because I have a reason why I'm saying we have a romantic statement in the name of a foreign policy. And we make romantic statements in the name of making, speeches for the plan. We talk about the walk. We talk about the journey. We have not traveled yet. And other people are walking the talk. You see? Other people are walking the talk. In 2006, North Korea decided, in 2004, around the North Korea decided they are going to change their foreign policy. And they rubbished the so-called nuclear non-proliferation treaty. Because the superpowers did not sign that. The superpowers, Russia and America, have the largest nuclear arsenal and they are not giving it up. And then countries are forced to, to sign the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. It's a jungle. It's a survival of the fittest. You can't afford to be romantic in a forest if you're an antelope. That's what we are saying. When you are an antelope, you are lunch automatically to a hyena, to a wild dog, to a cheetah, to a tiger, to a leopard, to a lion. You cannot think that a lion is a friend. Never. You need to devise wisdom if you are to survive next time. And the fact that you survive today does not guarantee you that you are going to survive tomorrow. The fact that SADC is stable today, it does not guarantee that we are stable forever. SADC need to revamp its policies. We need to pull out our socks and open our eyes. The world is moving away from that, what we are trying to keep, to hold in our hands. See, when the president, the late president Gengob, when he said oil is not ours, we were all angry. But that was a true statement. So look at it practically. So, you have Venezuela, which has the largest oil deposit, and America wants that oil. It's their oil, apparently. Trump is saying it's their oil. So if you have many Trumps in this world, you don't live like a, if you take a sheep in the forest, a sheep will be eaten by a lion at that moment. Because a sheep does not have the wisdom of the forest. The sheep has the wisdom of the field. Because the sheep is free in the field. It has nothing to be scared of. You take a goat in the thicket of the forest, a goat will be eaten up because a goat will run into the den of the lion. Because a goat does not have the wisdom of the jungle. This is what we are telling you. So this is what I'm telling you, that I'm not anti-government by saying what I said. I'm pro-government. Because I'm trying to tell the government that the government is trying to be a sheep in a jungle. And if we try to be goat, we will run into the den of lions and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. So, the goat, if you put a goat in the springbok has the wisdom of the jungle. Because it knows that, hey, there are red flags here. Let me move this side. But a goat will run into the den of lions. You just see a bunch of goats, running into the den of lions. Because a goat does not know what a den is. A goat has the freedom of the field where they were running into cattle and they are not, they are not kicked or, they think a lion is a cattle. You offer yourself as a living sacrifice. We still have 4 minutes. If there's anybody that wants to come in, we are offering ourselves as living sacrifices. How do you sign to be monitored? They are not monitoring crops. You are the crop. This is what I'm saying. You are the crop. You don't have a cybersecurity, mechanism. How do you control? How do you know when they are violating, Namibian sovereignty? When you don't have the cybersecurity mechanisms. You don't have a law. How we are going to prosecute them under what? You don't have an AI law. So, this is what we are talking about. Somebody just stand up and just make a decision. Because they are in power. We need to teach the sheep that there is something called a jungle and not every big four-footed beast is a cattle. I mean, is a cow. Some four-footed beasts are ravening or ravaging rugged meat eaters. and goats need to know, because Africa is a place of sheep and goats. They run themselves, they run into the den of lions, and they become living sacrifices. Offered by whom? By themselves. So Africa is a place of goat and sheep. Africa is a place of goat and sheep. They run themselves. Just somebody just need to open the crowd, and the goats will run themselves into the den, because they don't know they exist a den. Namibia does not know there is a jungle. Therefore, Namibia is like a girl who does not know that there are terrible men out there. And she thinks she is the queen of the street, until she falls pregnant and abandoned. That's when she will know that she was playing with her life all along. You have come at the last moment, minute, eh?
Sorry for that.
Yes.
And the ladies was off in the window a couple of minutes.
Oh.
Yeah. So how is the morning?
The morning is good. How is the morning?
You guys have, I'm okay. You have a slogan of that you are enemy to none, friend to all. Are you not stepping on your friend when you are... you are not, you don't want to take what? You are refusing the AI. That's a question, huh?
Maybe it is me that doesn't understand that statement.
me too, I don't take it, because in the world, what we live in, as a just individual person, there are just people who don't like you because you are tall, or you are too short, or you are too dark.
Look,
so
if a chicken becomes friend to all and enemy to none, the her chicks will be finished at that moment, because vultures are there. So a chicken knows very well that not every bird is a friend. That's why she walks with her chicks under her wings. Because a chicken understands security, and it takes security very seriously. Because she knows that not every bird is a friend. All right. We have come to an end of our program. It's 1 minute past the hour of 9 o'clock now. And let me give the chair to Nalvanda to take over. And we are going to meet again. I'm going to cook other stories again for you. And but lastly, I'm going to say, Africa is a sheep and a goat that needs to be taught that there is a jungle, and not every beast is a cow. Not everything that glitters is gold, and not everything that has wings and can be grilled is a chicken. You will eat an owl if you are fond of grilled winged things. Be careful. From me, it's a goodbye. And let's have a good time again tomorrow.